God's grace and mercy and peace for each of you from our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said before, the text for today's sermon is the Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Don't worry, it's okay. I'll grab my... Isaiah chapter 42, and I will read some more of that during the sermon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your servant Jesus. Thank you that you have anointed him with the Holy Spirit to bring healing and hope to people. Please open my lips to speak your word and open our hearts so that we can hear and receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, in this last week I have been reading a book, and it's not a novel, it's a biography, and it's called 10,000 Sorrows. It's written by a lady called Elizabeth Kim, who is a Korean War orphan. And the title of the book is actually very appropriate to Elizabeth's life and to what happens to her in her life. One of the first incidents that she can remember is watching her mother being killed in an honor killing. A horrific incident that obviously scarred her and remained with her for life. She was taken to a care home at the end of the Korean War, and then finally she was adopted by a couple from America. This couple, her adoptive parents, were fundamentalist Christians. And as I read through the book, Elizabeth's description of their practice of religion and their image of God was that God was a harsh, uncompromising, holy judge who would throw people into hell for minor misdemeanors. The picture of God that came through was so harsh that it was almost horrific. And in the end, Elizabeth turned her back on Christianity and on that kind of religion. As I read that book, I felt both sadness and anger. How could it be that the God who was portrayed by Elizabeth's adoptive parents is so different from the God of compassion and grace and love and mercy that I meet in the pages of Scripture? Are we reading the same Bible? Now, I'm not trying to judge those parents. This is just the reaction and the response that arose within me. And I had words with God about it. As I was praying one day, I was weeping for Elizabeth and for people like her who have been so hurt by people within the church. And I was saying, God, why do you let yourself be open to such a parody of what I see as your true character? Why do you do this? Why take the risk? And as I was praying, some words came to mind, and they were, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. It turns out that those words are from our Old Testament reading set down in the lectionary for this Sunday of the church year. Let me read a little bit more of that passage from Isaiah 42 for you. God says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope." Tonight in the Gospel reading, we hear about the servant of the Lord, The one who is anointed by the Holy Spirit for God's work, Jesus. Jesus is the servant of the Lord who looks at a bruised reed and will not break it off. He looks at a smoldering wick and he will not snuff it out. It's perhaps easy to say, well, it's just a reed and it's been broken, it's been trampled, it's not worth anything. It's not going anywhere. Is it even going to live? Or to look at a candle flame and say, well, that one's just about out. It's really not putting out very much light. But Jesus, the servant of the Lord, looks beyond the brokenness to the preciousness. He sees beyond the damage to the worth. Jesus looks at people who have been bruised and broken and whose life looks like a flickering candle flame. And he sees beyond the damage to the infinite worth that God has for each of them and for you and for me. A bruised human being he treats with infinite care and gentleness because he knows the infinite worth of that human being. All of us accumulate bruises in life, don't we? It can happen in multiple ways, but we live in a broken world. We ourselves are broken, and the people around us also contribute to that. And sometimes we accumulate bruises. Maybe they're not visible to the naked eye, but they happen in our heart and in our spirit. Sometimes the bruises that we accumulate come from the people that we think should love us the most. That is, the people of God who are within the church. And perhaps they are the bruises that hurt the most. How could your people do that, God? How could you let that happen? Sometimes the bruises come from accidents or from tragedies that seem to happen in life. And we're all hurt and we're all broken. When that happens, the flame of faith can become dim. It can smolder and it can struggle even to survive. But when the flame of our faith is weak and dim and guttering, Jesus doesn't say, well, it's small and useless. Instead, he cradles it and fans it into flame. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. I remember the story of the man in, I think it's Mark's gospel, who says, Lord, I do believe, help my unbelief. Sometimes when we've accumulated bruises from life, that's what it's like. Jesus cradles a bruised face and a bruised heart. He looks into the crying eyes and he brings the compassion and the love of God. Sometimes it's hard for me to see beyond the damage to the worth. I don't know how it is for you, but sometimes it's easy to say, that person is just too much hard work. I can't handle it. But I pray that as Jesus is gracious and compassionate and tender with me and with us, that we may also have our eyes open to see beyond the pain that someone has suffered to the worth that they hold in God's eyes. The Isaiah 42 reading brings out two paradoxical axes of God's character and his existence. And hopefully you'll be able to see them on the screen, but I'm not sure it's going to work. Yes, we can read it. There's actually some arrows. There's an arrow pointing up there, and one down there, and one over there, and one over there. We'll get to that. God is transcendent. God is beyond us and our world. He is the creator of the universe, and he is so far beyond our comprehension and beyond our power that we cannot fully grasp him. And in Isaiah 42, it brings out this aspect of God's character. This is what God the Lord says verse 5. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. God is much greater than us. He is transcendent. We can't reduce him to our own level. And yet, at the same time, God is also immanent. Now, that's a theological word that means with us, present with us. It's the same root as the word Emmanuel, God with us. At the same time as God being transcendent and powerful, he is also intimate and lives and longs to live with us, closer than our own breath, closer than our own heartbeat. The other dimension of this axis is also picked up in Isaiah chapter 42. And that is, on the one side, that God is holy and just. He can't stand sin. And one of the important reasons, among many others, that God cannot stand sin is that it damages the people that he loves. It damages the people who are his creations of infinite worth and value. God is holy. God is just. But paradoxically, God is also gracious and compassionate. God is merciful. He longs to forgive and to reconcile and to draw us to himself. Now, we can go off the center on any one of these axes, or all of them at once sometimes. Yes, us human beings are capable of doing that kind of thing. We can emphasize one aspect of God to the detriment of its paradoxical opposite. And if we do that, and if we go up into this corner where God is transcendent and powerful and holy, then we get what Elizabeth's parents thought of God. We get a harsh judge, someone without love, someone who is out to punish, who is counting up every little misdemeanor and holding it against us. On the other hand, we can go into the opposite corner. We can think of God as gracious and compassionate and totally present and with us. And this can also be a mistake, because if we do that, we can end up with a therapeutic self-help idol, with a cuddly God who just goes, oh, it doesn't matter, I love you, whatever, it's all fine. Which is also not the biblical picture of God. Now, I had to think a little bit about the other two corners, and maybe you can help me out with this. But I think if we go into the top left corner, where God is transcendent and powerful, but also compassionate and merciful, we end up with a cuddly old man who just wants us to be happy. And I thought maybe the light side of the force, you know, totally impersonal, but it's all good and it's all loving, but something that doesn't really affect our lives. I don't know. I'm still working on that one, but you can tell me if that kind of makes sense. On the other corner, if God is holy and just and totally with us and identified with us, we can end up with self-righteous religion. I am right. Everyone else is wrong. They have to measure up to my standards. And all of these are distortions of who God really is and how he is presented to us in Scripture. But if we go to the center, if we can hold in tension the transcendence and power of God and his immanence and presence with us, if we can hold in tension the holiness of God and his compassion and mercy, it's not hard to see who and where we find that. We find it in the servant of the Lord who is anointed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism. We find it in Jesus. We find it ultimately in his death for us on a cross. where God's power and his presence, his holiness and his mercy all meet for us, for you and for me. Because the servant of the Lord is gracious. He is tender and gentle with us. He does forgive us. And in fact, this passage from the prophet Isaiah is used by Matthew in chapter 10 to describe Jesus himself as he goes around healing people. Jesus comes to bring wholeness and health and to reconcile us with God and to show us God's mercy and his holiness, his power and his intimate love. God is compassionate and gracious. God is not just a harsh judge. He is holy and he does judge, but he calls us to himself to know him intimately, and he forgives us through Jesus. We see these two paradoxical axes of God's character coming together in Jesus himself. I had another experience this week which relates really powerfully to this passage. I have a friend in Queensland, his name is Brett. He was a very good friend to me when I was a pastor up there in Queensland. Brett and his wife Michelle have three children. Two of them are profoundly disabled, severe disabilities, never being able to talk or walk. Just this week, I heard that Brett's youngest son, Jacob, had died at age 3, partly because of his disabilities and the condition that came along with that. And I wept for Brett, for the grief that he suffered, for the difficulty of life in that circumstance, for living with such brokenness. And I rang Brett on Friday. And Brett said to me, and it's really hard to put all this into words, but he said, "I know that Jacob is with God who loves him more than I ever could. I know that God has now healed his brokenness. Because the God who gives life is also the God who can give new life and recreate life. He is the one who is able to restore what is broken. And we only see pictures and images and glimpses of that in this life. But when we join with the resurrection of Jesus, when we are resurrected, then that restoration is complete." God is gracious and compassionate. A bruised reed he will not break. A smouldering wick he will not snuff out. God loves you. He desires that you be holy and that you be with him. And he has made provision for that to happen through the ministry and the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. We find in Jesus the meeting of the two axes of God's character, transcendent and powerful, imminent and intimate and with us, holy and merciful. I pray for each of you and for myself that you know the love of God, his compassion, his grace, his tenderness in your bruised places, his power in your weakness, his intimacy in your loneliness, his holiness to overcome your sin. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, all of our circumstances, whatever may happen to us, may God's peace keep you and your heart and your mind close to Jesus, our Lord and Savior.